Those ancient patriarchs sought a permanent home. They realized they'd never find it in their lifetime here, and so they turned their attention to a heavenly country. God saw that aspiration and responded to it with approval. He blessed them while in this world because they desired fellowship with Him in the next world. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16 reads, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." I'm reminded of a great Christian hymn whose words were written by William Featherston, and he said, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine." I will take the liberty to change the word love to trust and use verse 3 of that song to introduce our study of faith and God's promises. "I'll trust Thee in life, I will trust Thee in death, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I trusted Thee, Jesus, 'tis now." Now here we have learned to trust God's promises even to death. It would be tragic if we read of the patriarchs, "These all died." But it is said with a shout of victory, "These all died in faith." Now think about that. They had received God's promises about inheriting the land of Canaan as their permanent homeland. They lived out their whole lives through three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not one of them saw the promise fulfilled. One would have expected them to have given up hope, but not so. These all died in faith. How long can faith hold on? How long can one keep trusting in the face of delay? He can trust as long as there is life if he is trusting the living God, for why would one cease trusting Him? Jacob blessed his sons, including the two sons of Joseph, shortly before his death, speaking of what God would do to them and for them in the fulfillment of His promise. Jacob believed. Joseph requested that his body be embalmed and carried from Egypt to Canaan when the Exodus occurred. Now, he did not see it, but he trusted God to do as He promised. That is trusting God's promises even to death. A second thing, trust God when you do not see His promises fulfilled. Those early men of God received God's promises and were persuaded of them. They rejoiced to see the fulfillment of them in the then distant future. They hailed it with delight. If the fulfillment did not come in their own lifetime, they were certain it would come in due time, so they believed and rejoiced. The promise of Genesis 15 to give Israel the land of Canaan for an inheritance was fulfilled 4 centuries after it was made. Abraham, the one who had received the promise first, had been dead at least 200 years before God moved to bring Israel into the promised land. Was Abraham disappointed in God? And was God unfaithful just because He did not act in Abraham's day? Not at all. A mother promises her child she will bake his favorite cake. Now, is she untrue to her promise if she waits until dinner time to serve it? Well, of course not. She is fulfilling her promise at the right time. So trust God, whether you see reason to trust Him or not, just knowing He is faithful. A third great truth for us is, trust God because of who He is. Do not settle your faith on sight. Do not trust your power to trust. Do not depend on your energy in prayer. Trust God. Trust God in view of how He has revealed Himself in Holy Scripture. Remember that He is a covenant-keeping God. Consider He is a loving and redeeming God. Think of Him as a tender and compassionate God. look to Him as a providing and protecting God, for He is all of that and more. And that is why it is safe to trust Him. He is faithful to the extent of keeping His covenant promises to 1,000 generations. You have a firm foundation for faith when you can say, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now the New Testament scriptures assure us, God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who has promised. It is no problem to trust when our eyes are upon Him, but look at self and circumstances will invite doubt to come. A fourth thing, trust God and never transfer your confidence. God said, "In returning in rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." So we must hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Cast not away therefore your confidence, for it has a great reward. When some were deserting Jesus, the Lord said to His disciples, "Will you go away?" And their response was, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so I ask you, if you do not trust the living God, whom would you trust? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. A fifth thing, trust God in view of future blessings. Those ancient patriarchs sought a permanent home. They realized they'd never find it in their lifetime here, and so they turned their attention to a heavenly country. If they had desired, they could have gone back to Haran in northern Mesopotamia or to Ur of the Chaldees in southern Mesopotamia. But the country from which they came out had lost its attraction to them. They took no advantage of the repeated opportunity to return. They had caught a glimpse of glory land. They were filled with a yearning to enter it. And their aspiration was for a better, a heavenly land, which was yet future to them. And so they continued in faith in view of those future blessings. God saw that aspiration and responded to it with approval. He blessed them while in this world because they desired fellowship with Him in the next world. A sixth thing, trust God because of your personal relationship with Him. God identifies Himself as one with the people of faith. The ancient patriarchs trusted Him, and therefore He was not ashamed to be called their God. He promises the men and women who believe, "I will receive you and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." Even Jesus, blessed incarnate Son of God, is not ashamed to call us His brethren. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God also. We can know Him personally, trust Him implicitly, and serve Him daily through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's safe to trust Him who looks upon us as His own dear children. So let the testimony of the patriarchs encourage you to trust God. Trust Him even to death. Trust Him when you do not see proof of His faithfulness. Trust Him because of who He is. Trust Him without wavering in your allegiance. Trust Him knowing He has blessings in the future. And trust Him rejoicing in the personal relationship you have with Him. But above all, trust Him. Father, we trust you without asking proof, for we have met you in Jesus Christ, and that's enough to convince us of your love and grace toward us. So we ask only for the grace to trust you more fully than ever before, and for that grace we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.